Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host today, Marvin Smith. Alan, my co-host, is not with us. He's back in the studio doing some more film work, but all good stuff. For me, I'm really excited about today's show. I have a good friend who's just a neat individual. You guys are going to enjoy every bit of this show. So stay tuned. Each week, this show will bring you guests that will inspire, educate, and in some cases, outright entertain you, while bringing you answers and options to raising children today in a constantly changing future. We will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more, as issues evolve around education in the 21st century. With each of us having over 30 years experience working with families in crisis, we've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and authors sharing valuable stories and helpful information who are working to keep your family and mine mentally, physically, and spiritually sound, making this place, this world, a much better place for all of us. And we will continue to bring you some of these incredible, talented, and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Once again, I am your host, Marvin Smith. Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Every day is a good day. I like to think when I can wake up each morning and, that old saying, I can smell the coffee. That means no matter what I'm going through, no matter where I'm at, I'm alive and I can talk about it. I can talk about the greatness of what life is all about. You know, even when we're going through the hardships, it's part of life. It's part of learning. It's those hardships, if we embrace them, that makes us better people. And I've been very fortunate in my life and to have friends like the gentleman who's going to be on with us today. His name is Mr. Steve Wright. He's a former NFL player. He played 13 years in the National Football League as a feared lineman. I was a linebacker, so we were on opposite ends of the spectrum. But, you know, as they say, it takes 22 guys, at least in the field, in the game of football, to make it work. And it takes more than 22. You got to have those that are on the bench. You got to have replacements. It's a system. And that system we're going to talk about today because our topic is safety, it's football safety, and its impact on youth sports. Some of you may be aware, you know, one of the largest lawsuits in the history of the United States has just happened with the traumatic brain injury case with former NFL players. Steve was one of those individuals who was part of that, as well as myself and a bunch of others. And, you know, there are some concerns. Football is one of the most popular sports played by young athletes. Unfortunately, its popularity sometimes comes with a price. In 2012, over 900,000, listen, 900,000 young athletes under the age of 18 were treated in emergency rooms, doctor offices, and clinics for football-related injuries. And this was according to the Consumer Report Safety Commission. Well, my buddy, my friend, former NFL lineman Steve Wright, believes that improving the safety otherwise in the game of football. And how do we do that? And Steve believes that safety should evolve around equipment. He says we must develop to keep up with the bigger, faster, and stronger players today. And, you know, Steve and I had a conversation not long ago, and he was sharing that, you know, and we both concurred that the equipment, you know, if we look at the evolution of the game, has not changed very much over the years. So we're going to talk about that as we go and get into the show. A little bit about my guest. Steve Wright, former NFL player, played 13 years in the National Football League as a fierce lineman. Steve, this is kind of some trivial information. Steve was a contestant on CBS Survivors, the 22nd season, which was in Nicaragua. And maybe Steve will get a chance to share some insight with that. I've seen this guy go from 500 pounds down to 100 pounds. Don't believe me. I'm being a little facetious here. But Steve did become lean and mean again. Steve grew up in Minneapolis and attended the University of Northern Iowa studying marketing. 3 years before retiring from the Los Angeles Raiders in 1994, Steve created the first sideline mist cooling system called Cloud Burst Misting System. He won the 1996 Atlanta Summer Olympics cooling contract, which launched the global awareness of this unique and very successful technology. And, you know, all those things that you guys see on the sidelines now, those misters when on a hot day when players are out there and they have these big cooling fans and it's misting. Hey, that's Steve Wright. He's the inventor of that. So you know what? He was doing more than just playing football. I guess he was learning something in school, as we might say. Leading the military support ministry for 4 years, supporting Marines and their families at Camp Pendleton, was a true highlight and a life charger for Steve. Steve also, going forward, became a team member of Global Giving, a suburb Milwaukee-based charity that collects and distributes new and, gently used sports equipment to distribute to disadvantaged children. Steve is married to his beautiful wife, Elizabeth, and if she's listening out there, hello, Elizabeth. We appreciate you letting your husband be with us today, and I want to welcome our guest, Mr. Steve Wright. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Marvin.
How are you?
Great to be on. Thank you very much. It's you got to be in a good mood. Like you say, I'm smelling the coffee this morning. It's Christmas. And my wife is off tomorrow, and we're off to Colorado for a few days and get up in some snow with her family, and life is blessed.
Hey, that is great. You think about it, Steve. We, you know, I always say when I can wake up each morning, no matter what I'm going through, I'm still here to work on the situation. I can work on me. And so often we always want to point a finger and look at someone and say, you need to work on you. But in actuality, if we look in the mirror and look at ourselves, you know, and you being a former NFL back lineman, you know, that those lessons learned is, hey, it doesn't get better unless you put the effort in.
One of my sayings is, anytime you point your finger, you've got three coming back at you. Give it a try and look at your hand. You got three fingers coming back at you. So it's, how did I get myself into this situation? How did I get myself out? Quit pointing fingers and making excuses and figure it out.
Hey, well, I mean, when I look at the things that you've done in your lives, you know, I call it a get-at-it attitude. Things don't happen by just sitting around. You got to get after it. And, you know, as long as I've known you, and you've been that type of individual, always with a positive attitude, it's like, hey, let's stop wasting time. Let's move forward. So, and hey, one question before we move forward. You know, it's been over 20 years since we've had a team in Los Angeles. What's your take on that?
That's really true. It's a shame. I'm thinking the NFL is it's payback time to Al Davis. You know, he was always a thorn in their side. I don't know. It's, you know, Goodell just came out the other day and said they were not going to have a team in the Los Angeles area in 2015. They're going to focus on a stadium first, which makes sense.
Yes.
Where's the stadium going to be? And then open it up to the bidding. So like the Chargers and the Raiders and who else was it? A couple of the teams are in the running for that. So
yes.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but I hope something comes in here soon.
So let me ask you this. Who would you like, I mean, you know, as a former player, and who would you like to see come to L.A.? If it could happen.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to happen. It's just when. But it sounds like they're leaning towards two teams, which is interesting. Rams would be great to see back here.
Yes.
The Raiders are really going nowhere fast. And there's, I hate to say it, but there's just not a lot of hope for them. yeah, it's... You know, I do like Mark Davis, But it's the whole losing atmosphere. I was just up in the locker room there about 3 weeks ago, and they're really comfortable with losing. They've actually heard people say that this is just the way it is around here.
Wow.
And it's a sad case. So there's some huge changes need to be made. Bring a new general manager in. I like Reggie McKenzie. You and I were teammates together, but bring a new general manager in that has got a lot of respect, that's not from the system of the Raiders. Give him full control of every single move and step back, unlike Al Davis would do. Al would bring the coach in, and then he'd micromanage him, and pretty soon those guys would have to leave. Huge changes need to be made, and that's I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can say...
Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, that's right. Go ahead, please.
I said the good news is if they continue on the path they're on, they'll be a prime candidates for a first-round draft pick.
they'll stumble over that somehow. I think they screwed up and won yesterday.
Oh, man. Yes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah,
yeah, it's really a shame they had such a legacy, and they're just a joke now. So,
well, you know, as Al would always say,
don't need to be kicking them while they're down. But
you're a former Raider. You're a former Raider. Yeah. I mean, you know, and you wore that silver and black. I had a chance to wear the silver and black, and there was just pride. I mean, it was just something about, you know, I call them the Raiders back in the day. I mean, we're just mean and fierce, and, you know, it was, like I say, Al, the saying was, win, baby, win. And, you know, winning was just part of the culture. So, mm-hmm. When it's not part of the culture and you were part of that, it's hard. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yep.
So, Steve, let's, football safety and its impact on youth sports. It's, maybe let's start here. Why don't you maybe give a little background on yourself and, the whole thing, how you were raised, what brought you to where you are today with this revelation of, you're kind of taking on this initiative single-handedly about changing the equipment, so maybe can you share just some of the evolution and thought?
Sure. I started playing football, contact football, full gear in fourth grade in Minneapolis. And seventh and eighth grade, I played on the junior high team and then go home and have dinner and get into the other equipment and play in the city league at night. Played all the way up through college and then signed with the Dallas Cowboys in 81. Got traded to the Baltimore Colts in 83 and then went with them in the middle of the night to Indianapolis and then out to play for the Raiders until I retired in 94. And like you were saying, thank you, but I married my beautiful wife. She's bird. And so we were sitting down over a year ago, 2 years ago, and she started dating. She kept wanting to know of football's all about and what's the big attraction to it. So we sat there watching it. And I was describing things, and she was quick, and the more I watched, it was long timeouts, and I kind of over it, but I was kind of starting to get back into it, enjoying it, showing her and the answering her questions, and they kept the timeouts. The referees would look underneath the hood to see if the guy's head was up.
Hello, Steve. Hey, Steve. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, for some reason the connection was a little bad.
Uh oh.
I know you're out. So okay.
I haven't moved an inch. I'm parked.
Okay.
Shoot, what can I do?
Okay, you sounds good now. Much better.
Does it?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
I haven't moved. Should I keep going?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So as I was describing to my wife and all these penalties and guys are getting their knees caved in and they're getting carted off and the refs are looking at all the different penalties and flags, and it really got boring. And I started seeing, and then all this talk of, I'm in, like you said, I'm in the this concussion lawsuit. And that's all everyone cares to talk about is the concussions. And granted, it's huge and it's got to be fixed. But when you start looking around at all the other injuries, it's minute compared to knee injuries and back injuries and neck injuries and ankle injuries and torn hamstrings and everything else. It's
otherwise, real quick, Steve. So otherwise, what you're saying then, you know, even though there's been all this publicity and all this, up front and forward about the concussion, you know, traumatic brain injury, and it was made out to be this humongous thing that's going on as far as injury with former players and players today, really what you're saying, and which we know, is really only a microcosm or just a small portion of all the injuries that are really taking place, as you're saying, the knees, the backs, all these other areas of the body, correct?
Well, I kind of call it the concussion, the CNN breaking news, because okay. if there were to be a lawsuit about knees in the NFL, that would be the new, and you wouldn't hear a thing about concussions. It would be full force, everybody talking about, we got to take care of the knees, and you know, it's just like you, the latest news, what's everyone focused on? Everyone's focused on the concussions. And yeah, granted, it is huge. And I can go off on a lot of different directions. But Junior Seau, yes. For instance, Junior Seau, killed himself. I'm going down to the funeral, and I just, for the heck of it, I thought I'd just, you know, they're saying how all the NFL players are all killing themselves, and they're all losing their minds, and dementia and everything else. Just for the heck of it, I Googled suicides in San Diego County that year, I think 2011, when he had his 2011 or 12, when he had his funeral. There was an all-time record of suicides. You didn't hear about one other suicide of the 316 or something in the county of San Diego, but you heard of one, and it was the NFL player, where there's probably well over 1,000 retired NFL guys living in and around the Orange County, San Diego County area. You hear any of that, but one guy. And so now everybody, full force, now all the football players are killing themselves. So it just started getting on my skin. So I said, wait a minute. I started trying to do some research and looking at the evolution of the game, of the players. And anybody can Google this, Google evolution of NFL players. And they went from, in the 70s, Big Mike Webster, who was Hall of Fame center for the Pittsburgh Steelers at 253 pounds at 6'2". Mm-hmm. He was known as Big Mike to guys like King Dunlap now, who was 6'9", 350. And if you're looking at the pictures, they're both wearing the same kind of helmets. Sure, the materials changed. And through my years in the NFL, or from fourth grade on, I've been through many different variations of protective helmets. And they've got a new one out now. And yeah, it's great. It's better than last year's, but it won't be as good as next year's or the years after. But there's still going to be concussions. As you know, watching the football games now, injuries are through the roof, so are concussions. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were getting, taking care of this concussion stuff, and they're really putting a lot more rules and penalties and everything else. But still, concussions are going through the roof, along with all the other injuries, knee injuries, back, elbow dislocations, shoulder injuries. So as I'm looking at this, the players have changed exponentially, and the equipment hasn't. And so I started looking at NASCAR. One of the drivers was killed quite a few years ago. Dale Earnhardt, I think it was, ran into the wall.
Right.
They strap their head into their seat. They're buckled in, so they can flip end over end, and car's on fire, and they put it out and unhook these guys, and they step out. It's not like that in the NFL. They have the same equipment. Guys aren't wearing knee braces. It's not mandatory. And so I started off talking to a few of the NFL Player Association groups and asked all the retired player guys, all the guys who were hobbling around, hey, this concussion thing's a terrible thing. Isn't it? Oh, yeah. Well, would you trade a concussion? Would you take a concussion over a knee blowout? Every single one of them said yes. They would much rather have to have a concussion than a knee blown out. I was knocked out once, and I didn't have any repercussions from it, and still haven't. But what is it? What is a concussion? It's never been really defined. I mean, if a lady's in her kitchen and she's under her cupboard, she lifts her head up and bangs her head, she's going to see a few stars.
Right.
She got concussion, just like the NFL players do. Kid's playing out with his buddies, and he runs into the door, and he staggers back and sees a few stars, and he moves on. That's a concussion.
Right.
So he stopped running around and probably shouldn't run around anymore and sit still.
You know, but you say, Steve, too, the big problem is with concussions is more that, like you said, you have that bump, you know, like, you know, you're in the kitchen, you hit a cabinet, you see a stars. They say the problem is the repeated impact is where the damage comes from. And that's, you know, that's the issue, is that repeated impact.
Thank you for keeping me on track here, because what I started looking at is how the equipment hasn't changed. So I kind of, I don't know, think outside the box. I'm tired of the rules. They just keep adding more rules and slowing the game down. The game now is about 10 and a half minutes of real play out of 275 minutes of the game.
Wow.
Only about 10 and a half minutes to 11 minutes max is the amount of real action. So what can we do to speed it up? I went from everything from a special kind of shoe that's bracing the ankle. There's no reason for it to roll in or out very much degrees. It can still, fully extend for your running ability, but it doesn't have to cave in or cave out. Howie Long's son missed 8 games because someone stepped on the outside of his foot and caved his ankle in. It just doesn't have to be it with today's technology.
Right.
My thing all the way up to the helmet, I attached in my conceptual PowerPoint, I have attached the helmet to the shoulder pads. Quick disconnect, pop them on, and it'll help redistribute the blow. It can still rotate right and left, tip up and down to a certain degree. But if you get hit in the head, your shoulder pads and your shoulder chest girdle and back girdle, that'll help absorb some of it. Everything from the technology of the Google Glass, which is here. And there's no reason in the world why Peyton Manning can comfortably get the voice from his quarterback coach on the second tier of a crazy stadium in his ear, nice and comfortable. And then he freaks out, running up and down the line, going back to talk to his receivers, talk to his running back, screaming, everybody in a panic. Like, why can't the rest of the team have a one-way circuit where he can talk to his team? Hey, we're changing the play. Right.
Hey.
Watch that linebacker sneaking up.
Well, think about this too, Steve. Special forces. I mean, when they go out on units, they're all mic. They all have a unit. It's a one way communication. They can communicate with themselves, but the enemy or the opposition can't.
Yeah.
So, but they're all in sync.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
And the whole Google Glasses thing, they're all wearing shields anyway. Why not have the shield to where the audience on NBC or ESPN and football station, you can watch what Manning is looking at. Plus, they have all the plays right there. Down to elbow protection and the knee protection. I've got it all on a PowerPoint. Maybe I could put it on your website or something, and people can tap into it and take a look at it. But I'm in talks right now with Nike and Riddell and Under Armour, along with just trying to just blow this thing out. And I'm not really trying to make anything from it. I just like to see some of this protective gear implemented. And one of these big equipment manufacturers has got to get a hold of this and start. Changes need to be made to protect the player at the highest level. But then down to the Pee Wee League, and it's going to be a little more expensive, as they try to figure out the best padding and how to do this. But what's happening right now is not working. The system is broken. Parents are taking their kids out of football, and rightly so. Roger Goodell is pushing a archaic agenda with his heads up football. His heads up football literally means tackle with your head up. I was taught that in fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. The first of every year, you were taught how to tackle with your head up. Mike Webster, the Hall of Fame center who killed himself, and all these other guys, all were taught how to tackle with your head up. It's not working.
Well,
do
so,
best
so
you can, but when it's high speed and there's all these big bodies flying around, you're going to get a helmet in the ear or the back of the head or be driven into the ground. More padding in the helmet, it will help, but how about reinforcing it just like the flak jacket did with the quarterbacks and help redistribute the blow? let your head hit the ground with five guys on your back, and it redistributes the blow into your shoulder pads and your chest and back, and so your neck and your head and your brain taking it all.
Well, let me share this, Steve, because as I'm listening to you, and you're passionate. I just hear it exuding out of you, the passion of you know, and the frustration. Passionate for change, frustration, and even as I heard you share the fact that, hey, you know what? I've all this design and that I've come up with in concept for a new uniform, you know, for players. It's not even about money. I just want to see the game be excited. Yeah. I want to see people protect it. I want to protect the game that I love so well. It's being diminished. It's changing. There's less playing time now than there's ever been. There's more commercials. There's more stuff going on than it is a game. You know, when you talked about, some of these archaic agendas, you know, that the NFL is putting before us, Roger Goodell, you know, as a commissioner of the NFL, you know, head up, tackle up, or whatever this new, you know, initiative is. But like you said, it's something that you and I learned early on about how to properly tackle. Two things I see that, and you talking about the cost, and it's expensive, you know, on the front end, on R&D, it's expensive. You know, yes. But then in the end, when I start thinking about the lives that could be, you know, bodies and people that could be saved in the process, there's a whole lot of money, Steve. There's a whole lot of money today. Not like in the early days when I played, which is before your time, in the NFL. We're talking about billions of dollars. And we can't, you know, take some money to make players safe. And to me, that would trickle down into the youth sport, because there's a lot of our listeners that I would have to say, even as a parent, as a grandparent now, knowing what I know, and this is a catch-22, knowing what I know, would I want my grandchild, my grandson, to play football? Knowing the things that I know, and knowing in my conscious mind, if I'm civil and I'm looking at it reasonably, with all the research, being an educated man, I would go, heck no. But then again, I have this passion. I played the game. It served me well. It served you well. You know, and so how do we, you know, preserve the integrity and create it that the youngsters can play and play safe? You know, because you and I are both friends of Dr. Daniel Amen, who did one of the first studies on, traumatic brain injury. And, you know, he's basically, his report was conclusive that there's no way I'd let my kid play youth sports. Matter of fact, John Madden, I read an article with John Madden recently. John Madden was another one. Knowing what I know today about the game, I wouldn't let a youth play the game until they were more developed. You know, right. So now you have here all this conflicting, and it's a reality. But you're coming back saying, okay, you know, here we are. I mean, we don't stop the game. And here's the other sad part, Steve. This is what's sad. And I got to be honest. When I look at the game, and predominantly the game is made up at this point of, you know, African-American males, and when I look at a good vast majority of them are coming from adverse conditions, you know, underserved, impoverished environments. Mm-hmm. This has become like a way out the ghetto. I mean, just being honest about it. So almost like it's like the risk factor. It's almost like I know the risk, but it's an opportunity I can get out of my circumstances and become rich. That makes it tough too. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And the NFL Player Association has a lot to do with the saving the game, and adding more penalties is just more rules isn't working. It's just like you said, it is not working. They've got to do something to the equipment to save these guys and save the young kids that want to play.
Right. You know, the game has changed tremendously over time, and it's a lot of money being distributed. And I believe, and amongst others, that, you know, there should be dramatic changes created to the equipment. which Steve has been proposing. He's an advocate of looking at, you know, if you look at the major manufacturers of the equipment, you know, bringing something to the table. Our listeners, parents, you know, we love the game. And if you notice over the years how they have changed the game from, I remember back in the days when you could watch a full football game and it was at the end of the game, the score was 7-0, 7-3. Very boring. Now you're having games where, they're getting 60 points, you know, or 50 points, 45 points. You know, and both teams are scoring high because they're changing the rules, and all the rule infractions are basically made in favor of the offense because from a business side of it, you know, high-scoring games are exciting. You know, it's these exciting games. But then what happens, you cause more of – the passing game, there's more passes being thrown, which now you look at the velocity and speed of movement is at a much higher level. And then now you're saying there's a bigger opportunity for even more injuries. And these are things that we're seeing. So I like the direction where Steve is going with this. And I can't wait to see, you know, as he's continuing to move forward and see some of these major manufacturers start to make change. I mean, really in the equipment. And as I was sharing, Steve, that, you know, if you notice now, I remember in the early days in NFL where games were like 7-0, there were hard-fought games where defense had a little more, it was a defensive game. And now I'm looking at the game as, you know, when you score 50 points and, you know, somebody wins 45 or 50 to 40-something, you go, that's a lot of points. But the other side of that, it's exciting to the fan base to see these high-flying games. But what happens now is that now you're passing more, and now the velocity and the speed of the game is even at a much higher rate. So you're going to even have more
interest. Well, every one of these kids is getting pressure to go to speed camp in the offseason. He can't play baseball this year because you have to go to speed camp. We're all going to speed camp, or we're going to go to explosion camp, or we're going to go to the specialty camp. And you've got to be at that. You can't go play hockey this year, or you're not going to be part of this. So there's a lot of pressure.
And then otherwise, these kids are becoming more specialized. Instead of like when you were growing up, you probably played multiple sports.
Yeah.
Now
there's pressure to excel in football if you're going to play football. And then it's I don't know. It's I kind of lost my thought where I was going about it. Sorry, yeah. But it's just it's where the speed of the speed of the game is picking up, and then they're cutting back on the practices, so they're not allowing them to play or hit at the game speed. So I think in the NFL they're only given one day to hit, and then every other day they're just walking through it. So these guys get out there and they haven't been practicing; they've been in good condition, but they're not up to speed and up to the hitting that they need to be for games because they haven't practiced it at all during the week, and it's the same thing at the lower levels.
Right, right.
And which I feel is causing more injuries. You've got to get used to, like we always used to call it, game shape. You can run around all day and get in great shape, but nothing like putting your equipment on and banging into each other and having your adrenaline and your endorphins going through the roof as you're in practice beating each other up. But you got to protect these guys too.
Right, right. So let me ask you this, Steve. What you know, for our listeners, and I'm ask this question, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and man, the time is just flying by, and we're going to have another 15 minutes to close out the show. But let me ask you this, for parents that are listening, because you know our show is it's Answers for the Family, and there's parents that are out there who love the game, and they're concerned about, should they let Johnny continue to play the game? And, you know, what would be what could you share to these parents to help them if they've made the decision to let their child play? What would you tell them, maybe some good advice in the process?
You know, this is just me and it's personal, but my father, if I wanted to play and be in the Tiddlywinks Club, he supported me. If I wanted to be in jiu-jitsu, he supported me and gave me all the tools I needed and drove me to practice and everything else. I chose to play football, but I chose to play every other sport too, play hockey and everything else. and they were behind me 100%. If kid wants to play football, you know, you're a lot luckier now than we were back when Marvin and I were playing. They are taking more precautions, and there is going to be a bridge of time where hopefully that they do start really improving the equipment and taking some of these out of the box, thinking of attaching the helmet and everything else. But as of right now, the helmets are getting better. They are being more cautious. They are being more understanding of, are being aware of looking for concussions in a kid with a potential dinger, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or whatever we called it back in that day. You know, they are being more aware. So I would 100% let my child play.
Okay, thank you. Once again, I'm here with my guest and my good friend, Steve Wright, former NFL player, entrepreneur, family man, and just a great all-around guy. And our topic today is football safety and its impact on youth sports. Going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to conclude this show.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
We're back. And once again, I'm your host, Marvin Smith, along with our guest, Steve Wright, former NFL lineman who had 13 years in the NFL. And, you know, what I like to say about Steve, and sometimes we get labeled a football player. That was something he did. But I like to look at him as a man with a lot of integrity, an individual with a lot of compassion. He does a lot of projects that are giving back to the community, with our military. He's just a great guy. And, you know, and I say that too, and even from the standpoint, as an entrepreneur, he's always looking at how to make life better and bring products to the table that help our life, helps us, you know, each and every one of us. Steve, what I like to do, I have a few questions from our listeners, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these questions and get your input. And then the last part of the show, I want to spend a couple minutes and maybe get to talk about, you know, and as I just shared these things about you, it's called being a successful individual. And maybe just a few tidbits that we could share with parents you know, positive words that as a parent that they could do to encourage their child, like you just did, about, you know, if they choose to do something, support them, if that's okay. Well, anyway, question is, I am an avid football enthusiast, but like so many, I too am very concerned about the long-term injuries we are reading about in the NFL. Becoming a crippled senior seems like a big price to pay for the money they are paid during their years in the league. Many of us are now questioning whether it can be made safe, regardless of how great the equipment is that we provide the players. What makes you feel this is a solution? Good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'm not sure if the questionnaire was a former player or not, but, you know, when these guys are averaging $3 or $4 million a year, I think a lot of them would trade a little hitch in their giddy up and doing a little limp or something if they had a chance to put, you know, stay in the league for a couple of years and put $10 million in the bank. I don't know. It's touchy, but it just gets back to the question of changing equipment. Just there just needs to be dramatic changes.
Well, bottom line
to the equipment.
Yeah, so bottom line is the game's not going anywhere. So at this point is what are some of the things we can do to at least help make it a better game, a safer
exactly.
game? And you're not going to change the players. If they're getting bigger and stronger and faster. So we need to protect them. And the only way we can do that, the next logical thought would be we need to do something with equipment. Wouldn't you agree? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we need to do something with equipment. We need to break the stranglehold that that the largest nonprofit I've ever seen manages the game, and that's the NFL. And not too many people know that it's a nonprofit.
Right.
They don't pay the taxes. The commissioner gets paid over $40 million a year from a nonprofit. I run a nonprofit, and I haven't taken a dime yet.
Right.
He's taking $40 million from his. So the system is screwed up. They've got a stranglehold on it, and what they say goes. And till something changes, or Riddell or Under Armour or Nike or something, put some pressure on them along with the public, you know, blackout television. I'm telling my wife, you know, when the commissioner is making some of these stupid calls, it would be great to do a social media and say, turn off your TVs on Sunday.
Right.
You gotta hit them where it hurts, and if the marketing companies are seeing that everybody's blacking out the TVs, you know, in rebellion, some changes will happen.
Right. You're right. And you know, at this point, the athletes, they're just a commodity. They're just a commodity to the business, and you know, that's why a lot of things have happened the way they have. And like I said, and we're starting to see that progression. We're starting to see some changes. I have another question that just came in. Our son was close friends with another young football player in high school. It is a heartbreaking story because his friend has a serious head injury that left him quite all not there. Emotional outbursts and other problems resulted in the boy being placed on heavy medication. His family believes the condition and the drugs drove him to take even more serious street drugs. He ran away from home before graduation, and the last we've heard, he was dealing drugs in Minneapolis. I know it sounds like an extreme case, but even one young person that has this happen may be one too many. I have welcomed all your comments. So, and that's, I guess, from a listener's view that they've something they saw firsthand and in a youth sport. And it's just, you know, I guess the point is there's, you know, it may start with a head injury, but there's these other outcomes that we see that happens from it. And I think going back to what you're sharing, Steve, putting pressure on the system itself. Yeah, like you're right. The NFL is a nonprofit that no one really understands or knows, and it's a nonprofit, but they're making a lot of money. And even for former players to be destitute, it just makes no sense. And like you just said earlier, when you have a guy that can, I like how you said it, can, you know, I can make $3-4 million a year and get, you know, a few years in the league and put away $10 million. Where else can I do that and have without having and maybe have a little giddy up in my walk? You know, they'd probably make that trade.
Yeah, and I'm you know, the power of your show, I'm sure you've discussed this before, but, you know, I'm so sorry for the loss, you know, for the call in there, for the loss of this kid going, you know, wayward. But I think a lot of it has to do with how they're raised. I know that every night, and we didn't have the cell phones and looking at Facebook and your phone beeping during dinner. I remember my dad would whack me in the back of the head if I even thought about answering the phone at dinner. we would all sit around the table and we would talk about our day and share information, and they would know right away if I was in a bad place, and they would continue after dinner discussion. But we'd all sit down and have dinner together, and I know it's not real possible in a lot of families today, but staying transparent and communicating through the parenting and just with friends and knowing who your kid's running around with and have them over for dinner and being involved with the kids.
Right.
I think can help prevent a lot of it.
Right.
But,
that's good. That's good, Steve.
Just shut the phones off.
So otherwise,
set the Facebook off, set all those other things off, and sit down with your son or daughter and communicate. Tell them to, you know, share with them your stresses. You know, they want to see that you're real. You know,
right.
So they can open up to you and feel safe that, hey, you screwed up. I'm screwing up now, Dad.
So otherwise, what you're saying from the standpoint of being communicative is being able to sit down with your child, spend like we used to do, you know, and find that we time, family time. And like, you know, I know you're a family man, and I know to this day, because we talk about it, I am too. I spend time when all my family's together. We, you know, when it's time that we have a family meeting, you know, the cell phones are off, and it's about us. Let's talk yep. about life. Let's talk about reality, and you know, and that we're all in this together, and which yep. carries us so far. And I think, I really believe, as you're saying, Steve, that we just got to get back to some of the old values of what it is for family and community. You know what I was saying? It takes a village to raise a child. And as you just said, you know, maybe that kid parents may not be communicating, but if that's a friend of your child's, when he's over at the house, spend some time with him, talk to him, mm-hmm. see where yeah. they're at, you know, and try to get involved. And I think, you know, if we all start being more proactive and grassroots, that we will start seeing a lot of changes in society and our communities. And you know, the work I do, I'm always in the community. Yeah. And so it's
nobody gives more of themselves than you, Marvin. And I'm not just saying this is your show. I've always thought that, and I've articulated that to you too. You just, you set the bar high. And it's reflective of how your family is. You know, I just know they're all tight to you. I've seen it. You're to be commended.
Well, I appreciate that.
No better guy to be running this show than you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And, you know, the guy that the other co-host is Alan, we you know, we're out in the community. We're out trying to do the good works and mm-hmm. just need more of us to continue. And I can't believe, my God, we're down to got about 3 minutes, Steve, and I would love. Wow, doesn't seem like the time. Where did the time go, Steve? Where did it go?
I don't know. Time's flying. Make the most of it.
Hey, I always
we don't get it back. Make the most of it.
Hey, but when you're having a good time, man, and I think the subject matter is great. I mean, we're, you know, it's that time of the season too. We're, you know, the holiday season's here. Holidays is related to football. It's, you know, it's that time of the year. We're getting down to the playoffs, and teams are jockeying for positions. And you know, it's in the football world, it's an exciting time of the year. But on the other side of this equation, you know, I think the heart side is about family. And as we close out, Steve, if it's anybody that wants to reach out to the foundation or get information, is there a website they can go to, or is there a number that they could reach out to?
Let's see. No, I wish I did have something. I'm actually closing down my global giving.
Okay.
The collecting of the sports equipment, and I'm getting away from the global picture, and I'm more local.
Okay.
And so I'm going to try to roll this out. You know, your listeners could get checked back with you, but I hope to have this up and running first quarter of 2015 and more of a localgiving.org or something.
Okay.
Collecting, you know, nice used sports equipment from Manhattan Beach where I live and giving it to, you know, worthy schools where the kids need it. And
South Central and places. Huh?
Yeah. And so I can get the kids involved with going over to the South Central School and seeing what's being done there and how their gifts are helping them. And
right.
I don't know, it might be kidsforkids.org or something, kids helping kids or something. But I'm working on pulling together a board of directors, board of advisors, a social media person, and marketing and, you know, a corporate donor. Head and so right, that right. I'm really excited for this, but that's going to roll out in the first quarter of this next year.
Okay, well
so
definitely.
Otherwise, I'd love to give you a website or a phone number, but I just
don't
tell
you
have
what.
Anything at this time.
Well, once you get to that point, definitely follow up and let's post some information, and let's stay in the door. We're going to stay in contact. But as your things continue to progress with the equipment, and you know, next time there's some major news, maybe we have a chance to get you back on the show with some updates and let everybody know how exciting we are to move forward. Once again, this was my friend and former NFL player Steve Wright, and our topic today was football safety and the impact on sports, on youth sports. Steve, thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you soon. Have a great holiday.
Merry Christmas to you, Marvin, and all the listeners, and keep following Marvin. He's the man. I'm going to follow him always. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. All right, Steve, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.